Welcome to Gold Soul, where empowered parenthood and conscious living meet. I'm Jessie, a licensed home birth midwife, here to explore birth, parenting, and personal growth. Through real stories, reflections, and chats with holistic experts, we'll uncover fresh insights, heartfelt support, and a bit of humor. Let's laugh, learn, and grow together through the beauty and challenges life brings. Hi, welcome back to the Gold Soul Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Rockwell. Today, I wanted to take some time to talk with you about a topic that is very near and dear to my heart. I want to talk to you about navigating multiple children as a new parent. As a mom of four and as a midwife, I have a lot of experience in this topic, and I feel like it's something that doesn't get enough recognition, and there aren't a lot of resources on it. There's not a lot of conversation about it. And I first realized how important this topic is when I was pregnant with my second. My first two children are 2 years apart. And when I was pregnant with my second, I had experienced a lot of sadness during the pregnancy. And it was because I felt like I was robbing my daughter of that one-on-one time. And pregnancy is a time where, you know, everyone's usually really excited and elated and joyous. And while I felt those things, it also felt like, oh my goodness, like our relationship's going to forever change. And am I taking something away from her? Are we not going to have as close of a bond because we didn't have enough time of just her and I, right? I mean, there would be times where I literally would cry about this for, you know, every day for like a week straight. And while I received a lot of reassurance, like, oh, you're giving her a best friend and all of those things, I felt like I still wasn't given tools on how am I going to navigate this. Obviously, at the end of it, I knew she was going to be fine, but it was more so for me, right? So I try to be mindful of this topic with my clients, and I felt like it was time to kind of talk more openly about this, and hopefully some of this information can be helpful for those that I don't know personally or I don't get the opportunity to talk one-on-one with. As a midwife, we see this often as well. Usually not a lot of thought put into what life is going to look like, with multiple children. Everyone's excited about, you know, planning for the birth in the postpartum, in the transitional period is kind of, left at the wayside. Like we don't plan for that. And there's a lot that is involved depending on the age of the previous children. Going from one child to two is a lot, and it can feel very overwhelming, but it's also so rewarding. I was raised as an only child, and I had always dreamed of having a sibling to share life with, to have a built-in best friend. At the time, it was more so to have someone to play with me because, you know, as an only child, you always want to play. And being blessed now with four children, and watching their relationship and watching how they interact, it is there really aren't words to describe the joy it brings as a mom who always dreamt of that, you know. So while you're going through it, it's hard. There are days having four children where I feel like I'm running a zoo, you know. But it is so rewarding, and I feel like when you are properly prepared, it makes it even that much more enjoyable. So how do we get properly prepared? So this episode, my goal is to provide some practical tips, some insight on mindset shifts, as well as, you know, kind of talking about personal experiences. Everyone's experience is entirely different. Obviously, we are all different as humans, and all of our children are different, our dynamics and relationships and our rituals and how our homes flow are so different. But hopefully, if anything, there can be one little piece of light that I can shed to help bring hope, bring preparedness to those that are about to navigate into either, you know, 1 to 2 children, or maybe you're adding your third or your fourth or more, right? And you feel seasoned, but oh gosh, it does also still feel a little intimidating, especially when you start to get outnumbered as a parent. So first, let's talk about that emotional and mental shift. There's a huge identity shift that happens when you're adding another child. For you as a parent, as well as for that child, right? We are all taking on new roles. A mom of one felt very complete. You know, like I'm your person. You're my person, right? And so I think it was the feeling of adding in one more. How is there going to be enough of me for both of you? And when I was pregnant, again, mind you, being raised an only child, it was really hard for me to wrap around how can I possibly love another little human as much as I love this one? Like how is my heart going to expand more? Because, you know, as parents, especially when we have one child, we know like, okay, every single day I wake up and I love you more. How is that humanly possible? Well, the same is true for having more children, adding more kids to the bunch, right? But in the moment and being hormonal and pregnant, it was really hard for me to understand how that was going to be a possibility. And so I had to really work on understanding like that love will still continue to duplicate or not duplicate, but expand. I feel like expansion is such a big word around pregnancy in all of the different ways, right? And that is applicable to this as well. But let's also talk about the kiddo, the child that's already here with us. They're going from being an only child to now getting a promotion to being a big sibling. And depending on their age, that can be sometimes more than their little brains can fully comprehend as to what that means. And with any experience in life, there's a lot that sits in the unknown, right? So really comprehending or attempting to grasp the idea of that identity shift that happens when we're about to add another child into the family for all roles and partners included, right? And talking about those things, working through it internally is really important. So there are a lot of common emotions as a mom that we navigate when we're about to welcome a new child into the family. As I experienced, there were feelings of guilt that there wasn't going to be enough, right, for this new baby. How can I love this new baby as much as I love the first or the others? There were going to be feelings of guilt that I wasn't going to have enough time for the first, because as we know, babies are very demanding. But also different ages require, they have a different set of needs, right? So there was guilt of that. There was feelings of overwhelm in the pregnancy, kind of trying to comprehend all of this. And then obviously after the baby was born, lots of feelings of overwhelm. So I tell a lot of my clients, going from 0 to 1 children, it rocks your world. You know, like you don't know selflessness to this degree. You think you may know, you might have some friends, you might have had some siblings growing up, you might have a history as a, you know, in childhood development, a teacher, an educator, a nanny, whatever it may be. But until it's your child that you have to be with and take care of and keep alive 24/7, you do not understand the amount of selflessness that is required. So there's a huge shift there. When we go from 1 to multiple children, in my experience, it's more overwhelm. It's more stress. You already understand what it entails taking care of a child full time. But like I mentioned, their needs are different depending on their ages. So that overwhelm is a very, very common emotion as well. We talked about that love expansion, questioning it prior to the arrival of the child. But once they're present with us, it's overwhelming. The the amount that you can like feel internally, your heart just growing, expanding to love this child, this new child that you might have, you know, questioned, how is this going to be possible? This might be a really bad analogy, but you know, in the movie The Grinch, how like a part of it says like, oh, in his heart, you know, grew 10 times the size, or, you know, talking about how the Grinch's heart was so small and how it like grows because of the people in Whoville. I felt that expansion in my heart. Like the second I would look at baby number two and baby number three and number four, like, how is this humanly possible to continue having so many kids and to feel just this overwhelming sense of love expansion that absolutely overshadows the feeling of overwhelm and stress. And then also, as I talked about, fear, the fear of not having enough time, the fear that I'm not going to be enough for them. And I think that that is an emotion that we feel often as parents, as moms. So understanding that you're going to navigate a lot of different emotions, and these are common and these are normal, and you're not alone. And that is totally okay to feel those feelings. Let yourself feel those feelings. So there's also this myth and this cultural pressure, I feel, in our society that you got to balance it all. You got to make it work. You got to figure out, you got to do everything. Go, 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 go. That's the expectation, right? And that is not true. What you need to do is find a rhythm that works for your family. What works for your family is not going to work for mine, and vice versa. So if you're watching your friend Susie over on Instagram and you're like, damn, girl, how are you doing all this? First off, we know that social media, friends, remember, it's a snapshot of reality. And it's like, it's a highlight. It's the best moments, right? Rarely are we vulnerable enough to show the hard stuff. So don't compare. No comparing. Please listen. Don't compare. Don't compare. Find your rhythm. What works for your family? Really start to craft that in pregnancy. So as you've heard me talk about the importance of a postpartum plan, this is a part of it, okay? What is the rhythm that's going to work for your family? And guess what? You have a household of multiple people. Things change. Be open to the flexibility and need, the necessity to sometimes having to readjust that rhythm. Be flexible. That is so, so important. What's also super important, you've heard me say this too, give yourself grace. Please have so much grace with yourself as you're navigating this, as well as your kiddos, with the feeling of overwhelm and the feeling of being stressed and tired. We tend to get hard on everyone, ourselves, our kid, the dog, the neighbor, you know, whoever it is. Have grace. Take a moment to collect yourself. Take a deep breath. And remember that every child is different and every transition is unique. Their little personalities as newborns is going to be as different as their personalities as whole humans, whole adults and teenagers will be, right? So have grace as you're navigating that, and find the beauty in that. You know, little baby Bobby might not be as good of a sleeper as baby Anne was, right? But baby Bobby might do better during diaper changes than baby Ann did. Like, have grace and appreciation that each child is unique, right? And look for those moments and those moments of gratitude rather than frustrations. Because I feel like sometimes when we're overwhelmed, we get caught up in the frustrations of it feeling new, right? And not what we expected. So let's talk about some practical strategies for managing the daily life with multiple children, with a newborn. So it's important that everyone's needs are recognized and acknowledged, and we're trying to meet them. Everyone has needs. We know this, but not all needs are urgent. They're all important and they're all valid. but not all of the needs are urgent. And so sometimes we do have to prioritize who needs you most in this moment. And that is really hard as a mom when you've got a two-year-old having big two-year-old emotions, but you have a one-month-old who needs to be fed right now. So having that prioritization of like, okay, whose needs need to be met right now? How can I meet these needs right now and move on to the next? That's going to help you. What's also going to help you is, and there are so many tips and tricks out there online, you know, for how to manage that moment, right? When it feels like everyone needs me right now, I'm going to explode, or I'm going to freeze. I'm going to completely lock up and cry and no one's needs are going to be met. So preparing for those moments, find, you know, the tips and tricks you're going to try to, you know, manage those moments, meeting the most important immediate needs, the more urgent needs first, and working down the list. And guess what, mom? Your needs are a part of that too. So please don't forget to meet your needs. And we're going to talk more about that as well. And a huge, huge thing that helps in these moments is the power of baby wearing. If you have not baby worn before, and people might be like, what does that mean? I feel like most people know what baby wearing is nowadays, but it's those carriers, the baby carriers. You lock that baby in and they come in different shapes and sizes. There are wraps and there are ring slings and there are soft structure carriers. There are so many out there. But the art of baby wearing and being able to then free up both of your hands so your newborn is, their needs are usually met quite simply with baby wearing. You can work yourself up to being able to nurse effectively in a carrier. They like contact naps. They feel really safe, you know, napping right there. And now you can tend to those toddlers' needs as well. So, figure out a carrier that works for you. Sometimes there's places locally that rent them. You might be able to find a Facebook group too that someone's giving one away for free or super cheap. Sometimes the baby retailers that provide reselling will have those products as well. But find a baby wearer, a baby carrier so you can baby wear and make your life easier. You can do so many things with that kiddo strapped to you, and it feels really freeing. As humans, we're very habitual, right? We, even little tiny, tiny babies, we seek habit, we seek schedule, structure, excuse me. So it's important to find your routine and your system. And again, like I said, everyone's is going to be different, right? But you'll have to probably try some few things on for size to see what works for your family. But find that routine and that system. And there's a few things I want to recommend. Lower your expectations with it and simplify it. Don't try to make it crazy because then you're going to overwhelm yourself even more. So whether it's meal planning, maybe you meal plan a month in advance and you're doing like a block schedule. Okay, Monday nights are taco, or I guess Tuesday nights are taco nights. Monday nights are chicken nights. And, you know, if you're doing that simple meal planning where it's easy, everyone knows what to expect, then maybe Sundays you're doing your meal, you know, prepping for the week, your food prepping for the week, that's going to cut down time and stress during the week when like it feels like everyone's starting to get a little stir crazy and time is of the essence to meet needs, right? So help yourself find that routine. Bedtime rhythms. Find a bedtime rhythm and stick with it. Because bedtimes are notoriously hard with multiple children if you're trying to do everyone at the same time. And obviously with newborns, they're a little bit more unpredictable. But usually with the older children, you should have an established routine set in place to help, again, simplify your life. So that's one of those moments where we're prioritizing whose needs, right? So we're going to prioritize the toddler or the older children's needs. This is our structure. This is our routine. And then you can even create a routine for the newborn of the baby, right? So bedtime rhythms is really important, and a good morning flow. Stay in that good morning flow. The more that we can create those rhythms, those routines, those habits, the easier it will make life with multiple children. And the same thing goes with like the breakfast routine and the lunch routine. Don't be afraid of a rhythm. You don't need to have some crazy, amazing new meal every day. Stick to simple. And what's the KISS analogy? Keep it simple, stupid. It honestly is such a game changer and a lifesaver for bigger families. The other thing that can be really helpful too is finding ways to involve your other children, your older children, in care tasks, whether it's caring for the baby. So, oh, hey, Mary, can you go grab me a few diapers for the baby? And having like a step stool if they need, or giving them responsibility, they love it. They are going to feel involved. They're going to feel a sense of independence and responsibility, because guess what? They're watching you all the time and they see what you're doing. And usually they want to mimic. They want to be like you. So giving them some of that responsibility is going to help involve them, which is going to help ease that transition, again, depending on their age, right? With my older kids now, so my kids are 12, 10, 4, and 2. My two oldest kids are so hands-on, because this is something we implemented very early on in the game, where they will literally help me bathe the littles, put them into bed, get them to sleep. Sometimes they'll even help feed them. It is amazing how involved they are, and they've wanted to be since day one. And I, you know, in the beginning it was hard, because you're like, no, I got this, because we don't almost trust them. But the more I let go of that control and allowed them to get involved, it also, not only did it make my life easier, especially now with everyone being a little bit older, it deepened their bond and it deepened their relationship. And it also created an independence and a sense of self-worth I've noticed in my older kids. So now even the four-year-old, she's wanting to help with the two-year-old. So she'll help me with diaper changes. She'll help brush his teeth. It's really special when you learn to kind of delegate age-appropriate tasks and caretaking for the little baby. Also, just accept that some seasons in life, it's about survival, right? So letting go of expectations of what we thought parenthood looked like. We learned those lessons quite hard and quick with that first baby. But with multiple children, sometimes, you know, the dietary things change. Sometimes we're serving up quick snacks that we didn't think we were going to serve up. Sometimes there's more screen time than what we had preferred. Sometimes we're not making it to all of the crazy different schedules and activities because we have to simplify. And we have to understand that there are certain seasons that really requires the surrender into accepting that it's a survival season. And that's okay. That is absolutely okay. Because I hear that all the time on, oh my gosh, well, he's just in front of the iPad all the time or the TV all the time. And I'm like, okay, but is he sad? Are his needs being met? Is he with you? Is he that? That's what he wants. That's okay. This is just a season in life. So letting go of that crazy, crazy hard expectation we put on ourselves to be perfect, right? It's so hard, but it's so freeing. It really is. With that also comes getting comfortable with asking and accepting help. This is a hard one. I didn't realize how hard this is, not just for me, but even for my clients. Because, you know, we talk a lot about like the postpartum plan, right? Making a postpartum plan in the third trimester so we're prepared. Asking for help, delegating, you know, but even like a level deeper, accepting the help. It is so hard. It's like a skill. We've all really need to lean into to fine tune, I guess. So with asking and accepting help, let's really learn to how to delegate. Guys, let's delegate it. It makes life so much easier. So whether it's your partner, Have your partner get involved. And again, with creating that rhythm, like, let's find that rhythm. Like, okay, so partner, you do this when you're home, or this is your task while I'm, you know, nursing or bottle feeding the baby. That's the time that you're going to take out the older children to go play in the backyard or in the front yard. So delegating and creating that rhythm. Family members, your community, your congregation, whoever your support system is, leaning into delegation with those that want to help you. So it's very similar, like in that fresh postpartum period. We all know that text on, oh my gosh, the baby's here. Oh, you know, when the baby comes, let me know if there's anything I can do. And what do we all do? We all go, okay. Sounds good. Thanks. Yeah, I will. How many of us have actually done it? I really want to know how many of you have actually done that. A lot of us don't. It's like this open-ended, offer of help, which is genuine, but it feels really hard to delegate it and accept it and be like, oh yeah, can you come over on Thursday and hang out with the older kids, or, you know, do a load of laundry for me. So learning how to delegate when someone's offering help, learning with your closest family and friends to even ask. Usually our support systems, they want to help, but we're all humans navigating the human experience and walking through life kind of like thinking about our own stuff, right? Like, we're running through our own to-do list and, you know, whatever it is that's going in our head. So it's okay to stop and be like, hey, you know, asking your sister, your mom, your aunt, whoever, do you think you can come over and help me on this day? Do you think you can take the kids to the park? Do you think, you know, you could just sit with them and color with them for a little bit? Ask for that help, because usually they want to help you. So don't be afraid of that. I think it's really important to understand that asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of sustainability. I'll say that again. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of sustainability. You are going to help yourself and your family to sustain a healthy rhythm if you can lean into asking and accepting help. It's pretty vital. We are humans, and it is my belief as humans, as mammals, that we are pack creatures. And we talk about this all the time, you know, the saying, it takes a village, right? We don't live in community like I think we were designed to, especially in this country, in this day and age. In a post-COVID world, we do see more multi-generational families again, but we haven't for a long time. And I don't think that's sustainable. We're meant to support each other. It really takes a village to not just raise one child, but multiple children. And so, find that help, make it sustainable for yourself. And it's also helpful to find support with others, other parents that are in the exact same or similar stages of parenting that you're in. Even if it's online, even if it's in a Facebook group, if it's an Instagram friend. I have a couple Instagram friends that live in other states. That I've literally been Instagram friends with for 13 years that I've never met in person. And I don't even remember how we got connected. I'm curious if they'll watch it. But one of them, Mary, I'm pretty sure, yeah, it's been 13 years that we've been friends. And we, you know, send each other voice memos and we know enough about each other. But in the early days, it was so nice to have someone in the same phase of life as me. Even if, you know, our parenting styles or, you know, whatever we were navigating was different, there is this, comfort in really knowing I'm not alone. Of course, there are plenty of friends and family that have come before me and they've survived and they're, you know, they're doing great, but just knowing someone is in the trenches of that phase of parenthood is great. I have a new friend right now who I just love dearly. And even though, you know, it's my fourth kiddo that's the same age as her first, having that community, it's life-giving. It really is. So truly, whether it's in person, it's through church, or in this friend I met through the gym, or it's online, find that support of someone going through the same phase as you, because that just makes it a little bit easier. And, you get to bounce things off of each other too when you're in it. So, that's really, really helpful. So supporting sibling relationships. This can be tricky, especially depending on the age of the older children or child. So it's really important to help those older siblings adjust to the new baby by preparing them before the baby arrives. Even at 1.5 or 2 years old, you can have age-appropriate conversations on, getting them warmed up and used to the idea of what life is going to look like. Don't discredit the intelligence of your children. Here's a really good example. So today I had a full clinic day, and during one of my prenatal visits, it's with this family. I mean, I love all my families, but they have this little, I think he's 16 months old right now. And I just love this little guy. He's so cute. He's 16 months and he is wicked smart. So he started walking at a young age. And so he, scoots around the office pretty great. He's a great walker. I have this drawer on this desk. Last time I saw them was 2 weeks ago. And I really try to give kids, free range to explore the office when they're here. I have baskets of toys. I want them to be involved because I want them to trust me. And I find that it helps families, moms, and partners to lean into me as well, to trust me more too. So anyway, I digress. 2 weeks ago, they're in the office. He finds a drawer on my desk, and I don't, shush him away. Like, yeah, buddy, explore it. So he's opening it and he's pulling. I have, a tourniquet in here and a measuring tape and a hair tie, and he's exploring and he's pulling things out. And I'm, as a mom, as we do, I'm multitasking. We're talking about, are you feeling nauseous? And yeah, buddy, look at this. So we're engaging together. So they come in today. It's been 2 weeks. He is 16 months old. He's not even a year and a half. And he walks up to me and he points at the desk. He points at that drawer and he wants to go back in that drawer. He remembered. So although they are young, they are smart. That is my point, is they are intelligent little people. So talk to them in age-appropriate ways. There are great resources and books to help you prepare them for having a sibling. The other thing is expectations. What are expectations of our older siblings, for when the baby's born? It's very easy. All of a sudden, when you've got this new baby, our older siblings, they look like giants. They grow like 10 sizes in overnight. It's like, oh my gosh, you're basically a teenager. Now what? You're only two, but you're basically a teenager. It's crazy how fast they grow and how big they look to us. But do remember, they're still little humans, even if they're 10, navigating this really big transition. And there comes a lot of emotion. And it's very, very common and important to remember that this is a huge transition and there's going to be regressions. There's probably going to be some jealousy. These little humans, especially under the age of 6, they've got a lot of big emotion that they don't know how to always, cognitively process. And so a lot of it will come out through physical, right? Because they've got these big feelings. They don't have the words to articulate what's going on. And so it usually, comes out physically. They've got this energy. They got to move it through their body. And so even though they look a lot bigger to you, remember they're still little and they're navigating their own experience. And so take a moment, try to lean into that empathy and that compassion of what they're feeling. If there are regressions, if there are bouts of jealousy, sometimes wanting to smack the baby, sometimes wanting to example behaviors that the baby's doing to get your attention. it is very hard for them to understand, wait a second, I used to be the center of your world and now I'm not. So going back to what we first talked about is having quick little tools, whether they're physical, tangible, you know, items for the art of distraction or phrases to validate their feelings and their emotions and help to understand and re-navigate what's going on when those moments arrive. Because punishing them as they're navigating through that rather than redirecting them can also be very detrimental and cause more harm to that bond than good, right? So again, it comes back to expectations. And if you know me well, or if you listened in a few times, you probably know I talk a lot on expectations. We need to get in a place where we're lowering expectations, or we're meeting people and we're exampling expectations that people are agreeing upon. And for a toddler, they're not like, yeah, I agree to do this. You know what I mean? So lower those expectations on those little nuggets and lean into that compassion and empathy of what they're experiencing and what their bodies and brains can actually comprehend right now. Creating one-on-one time with each kid is really important to strengthen bonds. This is a big one, especially when we have multiple children, because there's only so much time in the day, right? We've got a lot of stuff going on as parents, as moms, as humans. It doesn't have to be a lot. But giving each child their own undivided attention, put the phone down for 5 minutes, look them in the eye and have a conversation with them. So in my home, we try really hard to do one-on-one time, whether it's just going for literally a lap around the block, one-on-one. Little things, this might sound really silly, but my kids, especially my girls, my three older, my 10, 12 and 4-year-old, they all take a rotation of who gets to shower with mom. So unfortunately, mom never gets to shower alone, but that's our one-on-one time. And it's a really important thing to them. And that's the rhythm, going back to it, rhythm and ritual that we've created in my home of, okay, we've got this routine and this is our one-on-one time. And it's really cool because we are having conversations that are relevant to just that child that's not being influenced by a sibling. I'm not distracted by other siblings and I'm not distracted by a phone, which is hard as a midwife, right? But it's really important. And when they feel when they feel that bond is strong between you and them, I feel in my experience as a mom, it makes it easier for them to understand when, like, if we're engaging in conversation any other time, when we're engaging in conversation any other time, and then all of a sudden, what, you know, we call the littles, my 2 or 4-year-old, need me, and it is more urgent. Again, going back to our previous discussion on prioritizing needs, right? They understand, like, oh yeah, mom, go ahead and take care of that because my needs have been met, right? So there is so much power in creating that one-on-one time with each child. And again, it doesn't have to be a lot. I read last night this thing that this therapist I follow posted, and it was basically advice on 3 points in the day to give your child 5 to 10 minutes of undisturbed time that will have a great positive impact on them long term. First thing in the morning when they wake up, first time you're reconnected, whether it's after work or school, whatever, and then right before bed. So you could start there. And if that feels too overwhelming, then start just with one of those. And then the other one is doing everything you can to be extremely mindful of encouraging connection rather than competition between siblings. So sometimes when we've got multiple kids, it's very easy for the things that we say when we're feeling stressed and overwhelmed to create competition rather than connection. So instead of, I need to do this with your brother right now, that's why your needs can't be met, right? Like, just rephrase that. Oh, hey, why don't you play with this right now? Because I'm going to go take care of this. So again, redirection and just how we're phrasing things, and do whatever you can to encourage that connection rather than competition. So again, it could also look like involving them. Like, hey, I need to, you hear your brother crying right now? Why don't you help me? What do you think is going to help calm him? So encouraging that connection is so important, because we don't want them to feel like they're lesser than and that their needs aren't as important, especially when they can't comprehend that we're needing to prioritize, right? So it's all about how we phrase it and being, you know, having age appropriate conversations with them in those moments. Okay, so this probably sounds overwhelming and it sounds like a lot. You're like, oh my gosh, Jesse, okay, this is way more than I thought I had to do and manage, but you can, and it's baby steps. But the other thing, in perhaps the most important, that I want you to focus on and you to remember is taking care of yourself. I know it's cliche and it's cheesy, but girlfriends, boyfriend, whoever you are, friends, you cannot pour from an empty cup. It's really true. So you have to make sure you're incorporating self-care and avoiding burnout. This is one of the things that I really encourage my clients, and I really like it when partners are in on, you know, some of those early postpartum visits, when mom's starting to, you know, incorporate herself back into the real world, so to speak. She's kind of left her postpartum bubble. She's finding her footing back in the world. I don't care if it's 10 minutes where you're just in the car eating a special treat or a coffee and listening to your favorite podcast or song. That's fine, but you need to do it. You need to find what is it that you are going to do, preferably once a day, but even if we're starting slow at once a week, to have as just you, not as partner, not as mom, just you. You need to care and love on yourself. You absolutely can, because I promise you, if you don't, you're really going to struggle. I need you to also know that it's not selfish. It's self-love, and you're worth that. You matter. You need to do that. You are the pillar. You are the foundation for your family. So you need to make sure that you are strong and taken care of and your needs are met, and you have a little time to yourself in order to recoup and refuel and tackle the day. But no, for real, like, you need to take care of yourself. It's not selfish, I promise. Okay. Okay. You can hit me up and say, Jesse, I don't feel like I can do it. I feel so bad. I'm asking my partner to be with the kids. I'm like, okay, but you're with them all day. You can do it 10 minutes. It's worth it. So again, it can be sitting in your car for 10 minutes. It can be going for a walk by yourself. It can be taking a bath. It can be just creating a little bit of a corner in your home and waking up before everyone else does for 10 minutes to get some movement in, and, you know, to have a little gratitude practice, journaling practice, devotional practice, breathing, and, you know, accompany it with something that makes you feel good. So whether it's a special drink, like I said, or focusing on your hydration with, you know, a special little electrolyte or, you know, lemon tea in the morning, find those doable self-care moments. It does not have to be big and, you know, how do I say the word? You know, we know that Jesse likes to butcher her words. Grandier. Did I say it right? Let me know if I said that right. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be a spa day and a mani-pedi when you've got three kids at home. You know what I mean? Like, find the doable moments. Because guess what's going to happen? Going back again, talking about sustainability. If it is a small doable moment, it is going to become sustainable. It is going to become a rhythm. It is going to become that habit you create. Because again, what are humans? We're habitual creatures. So let's make it manageable and doable. And I want to see you do it. You also, again, need that support system, and don't isolate yourself. I know the overwhelm that comes with having a busy home and lots of sweet little babies that are the greatest blessing. But it is a lot, and you're not alone. So please don't self-isolate. Sometimes we can't do the things we used to do. We can't go out to brunch, or we can't make the Pilates class, or we can't, you know, get together with our friends like we used to. It just can't happen. That's not the season of life we're in, and that's okay. But what is not okay is if you isolate yourself and you lose yourself in the hustle and bustle of just caring for all the little kids. So find that support system, even if it's a quick text of, oh my gosh, today is so overwhelming. Like, can you remind me something good about myself? So there's this app. If you don't know it yet, you're welcome. It's called Marco Polo. This is not sponsored, although it probably should be. And I also hope I don't get in trouble for talking about this, but it's my favorite app in the world. It's phenomenal. It has preserved my closest friendships. So it's a video walkie-talkie app. And I really think every mom needs to have this app because it's great. I can send a video message. It's kind of weird because like right now I'm like talking to myself. I think Marco Polo has like groomed me for this though. So you're kind of like talking to yourself like, oh, this is kind of weird. But you just ramble and it's like the stream of consciousness and you're just talking and then the receiver can either watch live and you'll know that they're watching live or it just, you know, it's a recording so they can watch it whenever. This has saved my friendships as a mom, as a midwife, because if I'm driving to a birth at 3 a.m., guess what? I'm Marco Poloing Ashley and Mel, and I'm saying, hey, sister, this is what happened today. I'm going to a birth right now. She's getting ready to put whatever, right? But it allows us to have communication and conversation, even when it's not convenient to FaceTime and do it in real time, right? So get that app. Get your girlfriends, your friends, your closest circle and support systems on that app so you're staying connected. Because as we know as moms, what happens all the time? We'll send voice memos or texts, and then we forget to reply, and you know, it's you lose touch that way. And that's when isolation starts. So don't allow yourself to fall down that rabbit hole. Have that connection, even if you don't get to see them in person all the time. Have that connection and that support. And as I said as well, let go of unrealistic expectations of perfection. Don't compare yourself on Instagram, on TikTok, on whatever social media app or whatever it is, and find that rhythm. Lower your expectations on yourself, on your children, on your partner. Focus on what works for your family and being present. And again, I just want you to remember you're enough and you're doing hard, amazing work, and your love, it's so expansive. And this is hard, but it is amazing. It is so rewarding. Every transition takes time. It's okay to feel all the emotions. We talk about this all the time. Two things can be true and right at the same time, right? So it can be equally hard and equally rewarding. Allow yourself to feel those things because your feelings are right. They're valid. And this is just a season, and seasons change, right? And you will find your new normal. You might find it and it might change again. And that's okay. So lowering those expectations, being flexible, it's going to get you through this. Find that support system. So that's what I have to share with you guys today on the topic. I'm very curious to know what your experiences were as you navigated parenthood with multiple children. I want to know if there were any tips or tricks that worked for you. Please share them in the comments so other expecting moms can know. And feel free to connect with me on Instagram or join our newsletter and stay in touch. You've got this, Mama. You're doing a great job. Thank you for joining me on this journey of growth, connection, and conscious living. If you found value in today's episode, share it with someone you love, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss a moment. Follow me on Instagram at Gold Soul Midwifery and sign up for the newsletter to stay connected and in the loop. Until next time, stay grounded, keep growing, and remember, your gold soul shines brightest through the beautiful and messy moments of life.